Oh, God bless everybody. Thank you, Joe, and it's a great privilege to be here in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. For those of you that don't know where that is, that's up in the northwest part of Wyoming. I live in a ski resort, and we've had lots of snow. It's 18 degrees out, and we've got some more snow coming, and it's just a wonderful place for folks to come and have a lot of winter vacation experience, and that's what the community is all about. So I'm here for a job, and I've been here for about 4 years, and before that I lived in Dallas for about 19, 20 years with all the believers there. So God bless you all. I miss you all, and sir, pray for you, and it's just a great privilege to share God's word with you today. And I thank Jerry for the privilege, and it's just very, very exciting. So God bless everybody that's there. Today I wanted to talk a little bit about your life, yourself, your own personal life, that it is truly the greatest adventure story. Now, there's some great stories we see on the movies and in our books and in history, and certainly those are wonderful stories, but truly the greatest story is your own life, because you get to live it, and it certainly is a great adventure along with our wonderful Father, our God, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So today is November 21st, 2010. It's certainly a long way off from the people that lived and that were inspired by God to speak, write, and compile what we call the Bible today. But truly, the Bible is a living word, and it does apply to our lives just as much today as it did in the past. We have to understand that the Bible is an Eastern book with Eastern customs. Now, they call us, the folks that are over here in North America, the Western culture. But the book was originally an Eastern book with Eastern customs. And one of those customs was that the family was a very strong unit. The young people, married people, and elders all lived together and took care of each other. For example, the older women taught the younger women all the things they needed to know to take care of a home, be a wife, etc. So elders teaching youth has been a theme throughout time. Even in Proverbs, words of wisdom come from father to son, mother to son, and such. So let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1, and let's look at verse 1. Proverbs 1:1. So we read in Proverbs 1:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear, and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the instruction interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear or respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. That is so wonderful. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Let us also turn to Proverbs chapter 22, and let's go to verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. We also see the responsible to teach young people. So we read, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's a wonderful verse. You know, nowadays in our culture, we don't see as much that children are specifically grown up in certain cultures or background and are directed a certain way. But there is one example that is probably the clearest for our understanding, and that is has to do with what we've heard this week in the news. And you probably have heard that Prince William of England's royal family just got engaged, and he will someday be king. He is in line to be an heir of the throne of England. And from the day that he was born, he was trained to be a king. He was carefully schooled all the way through to getting his high school degree, his college degree, his master's degree. Then he graduated with military standing. And this is because that those that raised him and who knew him knew that he would someday rule a country, be head of the military, and live in the public eye. And this was very, very important for him to have that training. So that was one example of a person certainly being trained a certain way and brought up so that someday he could take over the crown. Pretty neat. So let's look at someone who was trained up spiritually. And that was certainly with the Apostle Paul and Timothy. Now, Paul himself, as we know, grew up with significant lineage, position, training, and education. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll go to verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Acacia. And it's pretty neat because here we see that they were together and that they were addressing the church of God, which was at Corinth. And Paul was quite a guy. You know, as we know, even before he started moving the greatness of God's word, he had great training. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22, Paul talks a little bit about where he's been. And he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and deaths off. Wow. So, quite a guy that Paul was. And throughout Paul's ministry, there was one person that he was particularly close to, and that was Timothy. So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, we read, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. This is so wonderful because he says, my own son in the faith. Now, Timothy was not related to Paul. He wasn't his son by blood, but truly, he thought of himself as his son, true child in the faith, is truly what this means. You know, a man of that time and that culture was recognized when he reached the age of 30. He was a man at that time. He could vote. He had other responsibilities and authority. And from what we know from God's word, Timothy was somewhat younger than Paul. Probably under the age of 30. And they, basically, Paul brought Timothy up in God's word, and they developed a true loving father-son relationship, which was so unique and so deep and so wonderful. And it's just great to know that this happened as this example of a youth growing up in God's word. And let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, and this is an exhortation from Paul, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Wow. You know, Timothy traveled with many of the believers at that time. He learned much from them, and he himself eventually taught and ministered and was a great man of God. What a great time and adventure the two of them must have had together. Talk about an adventure, don't you suppose? Pretty neat to think about. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Wow, what a great time Timothy must have had in learning and seeing Paul's life and learning the word. And one more verse in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Timothy is a great book, obviously, about Timothy and Paul, and it's a wonderful book if you want to go back and read about it. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort all with long-suffering and doctrine. Oh, what a great example. You know, today we may not have great lineages and kingdoms. We may not sit at the feet of great philosophers to learn about how to conduct our lives. But right now, at this very moment, we do have men and women who have studied, learned and lived God's word, who can teach, share, and minister the word to those who want and need it. For those that have an interest in gaining a spiritual foundation for their life, one of the avenues that we have available through our ministry is a class called Our Foundation. And certainly, if anyone's interested, I exhort them to sit through that class and learn the foundations of the great spiritual things that they can apply to their life so that they can embark on this wonderful adventure. So for those of you that may be considered youth and those of us that are older, I offer these thoughts. You have embarked on the greatest adventure, your own life. No one can live it for you and no one else is accountable for it. It is yours to direct, yours to manage, and yours to celebrate. God knew since the beginning of time that you would believe his truth and become born again. With that Christ in you, the sky is the limit. Yet adulthood does loom, and the decisions are many. As you embark on this great adventure through school, through marriage, through parenthood and beyond, I encourage you to continue in the things that thou hast learned. As each day goes by, keep these principles and truths close at hand. And I have listed about 10, I guess, little things to remember in the course of life that I've kind of noted that we can all remember to walk that spiritual walk, to continue in the things that we have learned. Pretty cool stuff. So the first one I've listed is, God, the one true God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is your Father and will never, never leave you. That's so comforting. Develop your relationship with him. You know, talk to him. Walk with him. Share with him. Pray with him. Develop that loving father-son, father-daughter relationship that is unique to you. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, we're going to go to verse 5. A great verse to keep in mind. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee. And that is a double negative. I will never, never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What shall man do unto me? That's right. You know, this relationship that you can have with your Heavenly Father can be so close and so wonderful and develops all your life. And that's that Christ in you that you have, that Holy Spirit. And just an example of what happened to me this week, I had on my face a what was the equivalent of a chemical burn because of some cream that I had put on it, and I had a reaction to it. And there was nothing on the face of this earth that would help that heal. And I just prayed to God. I said, God, I just don't know what I'm going to do. This is very important to my life. Help me out. Well, it's very interesting because the thought that came to my mind, and I believe it was that Christ in me, was put honey on it. Now, honey, you know, just plain old honey that you have in your kitchen, is a wonderful thing for healing. And it had been a very, very, very long time that I'd even thought about that, but it came to my memory. So lo and behold, I slapped some honey on my face, and over the last 4 or 5 days, my face has healed and it's almost totally gone, because honey, the way that it's made, keeps out infection. So there you go. So that was just one example of me walking and talking with my Father and my deliverance. And that happens thousands and thousands of times throughout our life as we walk and talk with God. Pretty cool stuff, huh? So just one little cool thing. So the second point I have is, remember the power you have in the name of Jesus Christ and demand it for your life. Be keenly aware you are in a spiritual battle which has already been won through Jesus Christ. Speak in tongues much. It's the proof you are heaven-bound. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 1, we read, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, in Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Call upon what? The name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Woohoo! As we would say, yes, command that name and that power. You have it through what Jesus Christ accomplished. It is yours. Number 3, you are born again with Christ in you. Nothing can take that away, and you have a wonderful eternal inheritance. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. So, Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Yes, we do. We have that wonderful inheritance. Nothing can take that Christ in you away, and it's a great comfort. So, number 4, you have a wonderful household of believers, your brothers and sisters in Christ that love you and pray for you and support you and are available to you. Wow, that's just so amazing and wonderful and so great to remember. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and we'll go to verse 10. And we read, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. And the household of faith, those are the particular wonderful believers that stand on the greatness of the accuracy of God's word, and they are there for us at a moment's notice, at a call, at a hug, at a visit, to minister to us. And what a wonderful thing that is. And I certainly am so thankful for you all that are my brothers and sisters in Christ that are in the household of faith. Each and every single one of you is so special to me, and that's so great. So now, moving on to the things to remember for that great adventure in life. Number 5. In this adventure, you are the captain of your life. That's right. Your decisions will shape your path. So learn about yourself. Learn your boundaries and keep them. You know, take care of yourself. Love yourself. Know what really makes your life sing. And stand on that and declare that. And sometimes you're the one that needs to know, and you're the only one that needs to know, that knows how to bless yourself. Maybe it's go get a bouquet of flowers for yourself, or eat that special food, or, you know, whatever. Take care of yourself. Love yourself. For truly, you are so wonderful, and you are going to be with yourself your whole adventure. So learn about yourself and know what you can do to stay blessed. You know, the greatest thing that you can do is to take time for God's word. Read it, study it, speak it, and fellowship with other believers. And go to wonderful fellowships like this and hear the greatness of the word. Feed yourself, make sure that you feed yourself spiritual food as well as that physical food. That's neat. So number 6. This is one of my favorite words, eschew evil, E-S-C-H-E-W, eschew evil. Ooh. And let's go to 1 Peter 3:11. This is such a great word, 1 Peter 3:11. And we read here, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him speak peace and ensue it. You know, whenever I think of that word, eschew evil, I think of, like, you know, maybe when you were growing up and you had a bowl of vegetables on your table, like peas or carrots or broccoli or beets. I didn't like beets. And, you know, you had to eat them. You know, you were going to have to get through dinner. And you were like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's what I think of when I think of the word eschew evil. Blah, blah, blah. Don't want it. So, you know, evil is bad, as they say. And we want to live that more than abundant life. So we accept no fear in our life. That's right. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, as much as I can in life, and I continue to do this, is that I just do not let my life be driven by fear. Because, truly, we can live without fear in our life. And, as an example, this last summer, I packed up my vehicle and I went to California to see my relatives, some of whom I've never met before. And it was a bit of a daunting trip. I traveled 2,700 miles in a week and a half all through California. And I could have sat here in my little kitchen in Jackson Hole and said, oh, I'm so afraid of the California traffic, and I'm so afraid I'm going someplace I've never been, and I'm so afraid that I'm going to see people I've never seen, and I don't know how it's going to go. Well, okay, there you go. My whole adventure in life has been shut down. And I refuse to have life being shut down by fear. So I packed up. I took action. I drove out to California. Yes, I drove in that lovely California traffic. And I met my wonderful relatives I'd never been seen before. Got to see the ocean. It was the most magnificent, wonderful trip adventure I'd had in a long time. It was because I demanded that there not be any fear in my actions. And there you go. Another wonderful part of our adventure in life. So number 7, learn how to handle money wisely. How to budget, how to save, how to spend, how to invest, and give cheerfully. Truly, this is a great principle. And let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 9, 5. Are you excited about the adventure? I hope you are. We're all in it together. So 2 Corinthians 9, 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Wow, a great principle to give, give, give in life, and you certainly will receive. And one quick question I have, is the root of all evil money? Well, let's learn to go, let's go to God's Word and find out truly the accuracy of that statement. 1 Timothy 6:10. 1 Timothy 6:10. And we read, for the what? The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Yep, it's the love of money and the power that it brings. So, truly, in our life and our adventure, we learn how to handle money wisely, and we move forward giving generously. Pretty cool. Point number 8, walk in patience. You know, we live in a fast food world, don't we, today? We get it here, we get it now, we want it now. And certainly some of the things that are worth having are worth setting goals for and achieving and working towards. Goals are such a wonderful thing in your life, and if you've never set any goals up, now's the time, because it's so exciting to work towards goals, to see them come to pass and write them down and have that wonderful vision and kind of wish list available. Goals are a wonderful thing. So keep that going in your life through your adventure. Tell us about how you've met some goals. We'd love to hear and share about it. Number 9, keep the hope of the return always alive in your heart. That's the hope of Jesus Christ's return always alive in your heart. He's coming back. It's great to have that foundation in your life that Jerry just so wonderfully taught about just recently. That is a great foundation of your life spiritually. And you know, sometimes we hear about little mini hopes. You ever heard of that? Keeping those little mini hopes available in your life. Maybe you're looking forward to a trip or something's going on. It's great to have those little things that you can hope for in your life that keep your life singing. You know, set some of those things up in your life too. Those are very exciting. Let's go back to the hope of Jesus Christ's return, and we have to go to 1 Thessalonians 4. Of course we do. So 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. We read, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, we have hope, right? We're not as others that have no hope. We're the hope group. That's right. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Wow, pretty great things to look forward to. And number 10, my last thought is to be thankful. Yep, this is that wonderful time of the year when we certainly focus on that. It's time to reflect about how rich we are in so many ways. And I am so thankful for the greatness of the Word that I have as a foundation in my life. And you can be too. So let's turn to Colossians 3, verse 15. And Colossians 3:15, we read, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Well, these are some wonderful things that we've been able to reflect on for our great adventure. You know, some of us are just starting out on our great adventure, and some of us continue living our own grand great adventure, no matter what our age. We all aim of the Lord Jesus